Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
Hi, bestie.
Hey, besties.
Welcome back.
Hope everyone's having a great week.
Yes, the sun is shining. We're feeling good.
We are feeling so good. And we've been having a lot of really in-depth conversations recently, Libby.
Okay.
And one of which is about, as young professionals, not necessarily having everything figured out just yet.
Yeah, I think it's easy to look at everyone doing their thing, and maybe you don't feel great about the thing that you're currently doing and are looking to change and evolve. And I think that can be a scary process.
It can definitely be a scary process. And we're lucky here because in the studio, we have someone who's going to walk us through that process who just went through it, Michaela Trimpe. Hi, Michaela.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
So why don't you just take us through a little bit about your background? Just kind of, you know, you had not necessarily a traditional home base growing up. So talk a little bit about where you grew up, how you grew up, and how you landed here.
Yeah, so I actually moved around a lot growing up. My dad changed jobs between pretty much Findlay, Ohio, and somewhere in Arizona, truly just on the vibe of wanting to be someplace warm. So I changed schools a lot, especially around like the middle school years. And then we ended up in Bowling Green, Ohio, towards the end of my the beginning of my high school. And then I stayed there throughout high school. And then I went to Denison for my undergrad, which again is an Ohio school, very proud representative, go Big Red. And then COVID happened my senior year and or the tail end of my senior year. So all of the job applications, apprenticeships that I had been applying to my entire senior year didn't end up coming with any job opportunities.
And what did you study at Denison?
I studied psychology and theater. So I was at the point where I wasn't quite ready to pursue theater like professionally, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do with my psychology degree. So I didn't have a lot of direction at that time. And then with COVID happening, it felt even more aimless for me. So I ended up going to grad school for my Master of Arts in Theater at BG. And that was truly just a byproduct of convenience and the fact that I wanted to feel supported in the theater community that I grew up in, especially a time where everything was feeling a little bit more chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, I graduated in 2020 with my master's degree and then got a job at Bowling Green City Schools, which is where I went to high school. So it kind of worked out full circle, just landed somewhere that I felt really comfortable.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your kind of day to day there.
Yeah. So I worked in the teaching and learning department as the curriculum secretary. So I did a lot of the purchasing for school supplies. I enrolled students at the K-5 level. And I also organized the professional development for teachers. So I worked in the admin office, which meant I didn't get to be in the schools much, but I did have a lot of interactions with teachers and admin and the students alike. So, I mean, it was a really fun job. I liked it a lot. The environment was great. I loved working with students, but it's definitely, I was cloistered in the admin building.
For sure. And was it weird for you kind of working in the same space that you grew up in academically?
Oh, definitely. The amount of the amount of familiar faces that I recognized from when I was in high school that I was now coworkers with was such a weird transition.
Mm-hmm. Right, like calling them by their last name to then you're their colleague.
Yeah, I still called a lot of the teachers by Mr. Whatever, Mrs. Whatever. And the superintendent started my senior year, and he was the superintendent when I started working there. So it was kind of a, oh, hey, I helped pick you out as a student. Interesting, crazy. Wow, I'm here now.
I love that.
So it was definitely weird, but like I said, it was a very comforting environment for me to join the workforce in, especially at a time of COVID taking over and making a lot of things scary and intimidating and unusual. Yeah. So having that comfort of being back home was nice.
Definitely. How long were you there?
I was almost there for 3 years, so it was a little over 2.5.
Right. Okay. And so obviously you were just shy of that 3-year mark, but you were kind of feeling like it was ready and it was time for you to transition into something new. So how did you come to that conclusion that you were ready to transition out of that role? And then can you talk a little bit about the emotional aspects of coping with leaving your job?
I definitely took the job because it was convenient. It was something that I really enjoyed while I was there. I learned a lot. I met a lot of great people. I enjoyed working with the kiddos, and seeing that process behind the scenes was really rewarding, especially as someone who has been interested in education and the intricacies of it, but didn't pursue teaching. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun job for me to go to. But it was also one where I didn't have a lot of growth potential in. I mean, sure. My position was one that some of the other secretaries were vying for even while I was in the position. They were when you leave, let me know. I'll apply. So it wasn't a job that was meant for a lot of moving on up, which is great and dandy. And it was a great job. But I was definitely in a position where I wanted something that offered me a lot of growth potential.
Absolutely.
I think 2 to 3 years was the perfect amount of time for me in that role. I learned a lot, like I said. I kind of had the time to develop my skills in a way that was encouraging and useful and productive, in the sense of I was learning it in the process of a greater project, I guess. So I learned social media skills. I learned content creation. I learned admin work, office management, that kind of thing, how to email in a professional manner. But it wasn't necessarily my dream job by any means.
Sure. And I did kind of want to talk about that, some of these skills that you're saying and how you kind of took those and then were able to market yourself, on your resume and in interviews as you were looking for a new job.
I guess one way I can look at it is that there were elements of the job that are applicable to a lot of different jobs. The creative aspects I was really able to take into some of my other roles that I have outside of work. And a lot of the office admin stuff is something that I use to market myself for the current job that I'm in now. And parts of the job that didn't seem super important or big in the moment were skills that I found I was marketing the most when I was in the job search process. Simple things like learning how to do Excel spreadsheets, which was something that I actually really enjoyed doing in my old job, was a really big selling point when I was job searching. They were like, oh, you know how to create formulas in Excel? And they were like, I was like, yeah.
You're like an alien to some of these people. Yeah.
Oh, the amount of conversations between Google Drive and Excel are ones that I've been able to market myself really well through, because I'm like, I can do both, but whatever you like, I like that one too.
Yeah. Well, and I think when talking about those transferable skills, it kind of goes hand in hand with talking about the interviewing process at large. So obviously you went through a bunch of different interviews before you got your current position, which we'll get to, but kind of talk about the process of interviewing with different companies. What worked for you? What did that experience look like? How did you manage your nerves? Do you have any general tips for YPs when looking through that process?
I probably overprepare, and that's something that I found helped me a lot in the process. I made sure I looked at the website thoroughly, even beyond the job description. I was looking at the mission statement, the reviews from other employees, different projects and events that they're doing, just so I had something that I could relate to and talk about in the interviews that made it feel more like a conversation as opposed to someone talking at you and having to answer questions perfectly. So I think that really helped me manage my nerves. And then I also took a lot of interview job searching workshops in college that taught me a bunch of tricks, simple things like wearing a bright color in your interview so you're memorable in the long term.
Love that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Or my favorite one is keeping your hands above the desk or in the screen if you're doing a video interview so that you appear more trustworthy. The more you use your hands, it's a psychological thing.
I was going to
say, yeah. Psychology degree, putting that to work.
And then also, I always have a water bottle with me because when I get nervous, I tend to word vomit, if you can't tell by this process. I know I didn't bring one with me, but usually if they ask a question and I momentarily panic, I'll take a drink of water just to kind of give myself that mental reset so that I don't my nerves don't build up over the process of the interview. So those are just some little tricks that I've like taken with me in the interview process that has really just helped myself work on the interview. I don't know how beneficial it is to like the interviewer, but for me, it's been really helpful.
No, definitely. I think you could be a really good candidate for a job and go through finding the right job for you and looking at the application and doing all that stuff. And then you get to the interview and you kind of hurt yourself by feeding into those nerves or answering too fast or not really being prepared at all. So the preparedness element of that is really important.
And I know they always say to like ask good questions. Do you have any go-tos?
I oftentimes ask about the work environment. What I've found is that they'll ask a lot of questions about how you manage experiences in the work setting, but that always turns a red flag onto me of like, oh my gosh, how bad is this work environment going to be if they're like already preparing me for the worst? But what I found is a good question to ask is, why did you take this job? What made you interested in that organization? Because then you get a personal story or anecdote to support the community that you're joining.
People love talking about themselves.
Yeah, that too.
That's another, I mean, there's psychology behind that too, right? Like, you know, when you get people talking about themselves, they're more likely to remember that you took an interest in them and that can carry with you.
And it's interesting that you mentioned red flags too. I think that's another big one where there's kind of that like masking language of like, this is actually an awful place to work. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
So in college, I had a lot of job offers, and I say this with quote fingers for those who can't see, but they were actually, I don't want to say scams, but like pyramid scheme like jobs. I didn't pick that up from the initial like intake. And it wasn't until like the phone interview where they were like, oh yeah, well, we don't really have like a managerial staff. It's more like you're working on your own and you're getting clients. And I'm like, clients for what? And they're like, well, just for the business. And I'm like, what's the business? Like, give me an example of what your organization does, please.
It sounds like an SNL skit about like workplace jargon or something. Get clients, up your numbers for the business. Okay, what are we doing?
No, but I had those phone calls and I was a like 21-year-old getting these phone calls, talking to my dad, like, is this real? Like, what do I do? But even as an adult, getting real job interviews and going through these actual job offers, hearing about the work environment is really important to understand what fits what you want.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Because I think independent work style is something that some people love, some people hate. Some people want to be managed more thoroughly while others want to work on their own. And I think knowing what you want and going into the job interview with that in mind and understood is incredibly helpful in understanding if a job is the best fit for you.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, this job was something that they told me initially that it's a really chaotic work environment. And that's because we have participants walking around all throughout the day, coming in to say hi, looking for snacks. So if you don't work well under that environment, then that job would not be for you. And they want to make sure that you know that so that they're not wasting their time with you too.
For sure. And the job that you're referring to is the job that you just recently took, which is at Bittersweet Farms. So first, before we talk about that job and how you're settling in, I want to ask too about the job offer process. So obviously, once you get a job offer from a company, and like you just did, what does that look like? You know, what are good questions to ask when you're reviewing your contract? And do you negotiate your pay or your hours? Or how do you handle that when you're in that situation?
Yeah, this was my first time really going through that. The first time I got my job with Bowling Green City Schools, I was like, yes, I'll take the job. Thank you. This time around, I was a little more patient. I asked for them to send the official offer in an email so that I could review it. And then I also asked for a couple of days to process the offer and get back to them with any questions. And I feel like that was a good time for me to think about genuinely if this was a good job fit, if what they were offering me is something that I can accept. I mean, there were things in there that I didn't even consider when looking for a job. Like PTO is something that you don't really think about when you're in the job application process or interview process. But the second something comes up, you really want to know about that PTO.
Yeah.
And I had a really great PTO system or setup at BG. So then going from that to this, where it was different. I mean, it was still a good package, but it was just different. It mm-hmm. gave me the opportunity to ask follow-up questions that I didn't even know to ask.
Right.
And I always encourage you to think about yourself in that job interview. Like, yes, it's really nice of them to offer that job to you. It's a privilege that you got the job. But also know that you have to make sure that it's a good fit for you too.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was looking at a lot of like the hours, the pay scale, the job description, and what tasks I'd be completing, because those were the things that were on the priority for me when I was going through my job search. So when I got the offer letter, those were the things that I took a lot of time to review, because those are ones that I had official stakes in. And I was really privileged that the Bittersweet Farms job did have a good and thorough job description available from the time I applied. That's not always the case.
Yeah.
Right.
So I knew what the pay range was when I got the offer letter. Knowing that I was in the middle of that was a good tool for me to use when it came to negotiating. Same with the hours. I knew what the hours would be ahead of time. So going into it, already knowing that, I was able to not be surprised when they gave me the 40-hour work schedule. So it's just little things like that where you just want to make sure that it's what you want and you're not just accepting it blindly.
Yeah. And that's something you have to like sit with yourself and figure out, what is it that I'm actually looking for?
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what Bittersweet Farms is and what they do?
Yeah. It's an organization, a nonprofit that works with adults with autism. They do have some students as well in their Pemberville branch, but I work at the White House property. So we have day programs and residential programs, and adults with autism will come in either during the day to do different job-like activities. They'll do groundskeeping, gardening, they'll work the farm, they'll do arts and crafts that they'll then sell at the market. And it's a really cool organization that helps individuals with autism develop an independent living style. And they also have the added part of educating the community as well. So they go out to different farms and or markets and events. They were just at the Glass City Marathon, just to kind of get the participants out into the community and make sure that they are being represented as well in the greater Toledo community. And I think that that's something that is extra special that they do, to make sure that everyone's informed and educated about how individuals with autism are just like anyone else, and you don't have to be like intimidated by interacting with them, or like, it's okay if you have questions, you can seek out those answers so that you are a more educated individual when it comes to that.
And obviously you're transitioning into this new role, so talk a little bit about your job there and then kind of how you have handled the transition from BG to now Bittersweet.
Yeah, I am the executive administrative assistant, which, like, just looking at the job title sounds really similar, but looking at the actual descriptions of my job, they're very different, and I'm picking that up along the way. But it's a smaller office, but a greater community. So there's like 60 plus residents that I get to work with and see on a daily basis. And this job has been a lot of learning new skills and new databases that is just further developing my ability to take on new skills and learn and meet new people, which is something that I struggle with. I get anxious about meeting new people, hence mm-hmm. my interest in going to a job that I knew a lot of people in. But this is, I walked into my first day and was surrounded by strangers for 8 hours. So that was incredibly intimidating. And the first week is a lot of information dump on you right away. But I mean, making sure that I was writing as many notes down as I could and then writing specifically who to ask questions to later, yeah, I think has been helping me a lot. They were very helpful in providing me a binder of all of the like little nitty gritty aspects of the job, which I found really helpful. But also they encourage me pretty much every day to ask them questions when they come up, which I think has been really helpful in making it a less intimidating transition.
Tell us some of your favorite parts of the job.
The participants are my favorite. I mean, I was cloistered away in like the back of my old office, but this time I'm like front and center, the first person that they see when they walk into the admin building. So I get to meet and greet with all of the residents as they come in, again, searching for snacks usually.
Me too, honestly.
But they'll come in and when they remember my name, it's really exciting and joyful. And when they communicate with me even, it's a big deal. And so getting to know them and learn about them and get to the point where they're comfortable with me has been extremely rewarding and definitely my favorite part of the job. And then in addition to that, I also get to be in like the board meetings for the actual organization's business side, which has been really cool and interesting because like the nonprofit world is so vast and complex, and seeing the behind the scenes of that has been really informative, and something that I think is further developing what I want my career path to be, which I think is not something that I anticipated originally when I took this job, but it is a really exciting byproduct that I'm excited to further explore.
That's awesome. I know. We're excited to check in with you later on in the job and see how it's continuing to go. But I want to talk a little bit about your community involvement outside of Bittersweet and your work environment. So you're also very heavily involved in theater, both as a performer and a director. And I want to talk, though, about your board involvement with a couple different organizations. You're with Horizon Youth Theater and the Ohio Community Theater Association, OCTA. So can you tell us a little bit more about these organizations and then why you think it's important to be involved in the community outside of work?
Yeah, I originally got involved because I wanted to kind of flex my theater and art muscles in a way that my job was not providing. Mm-hmm. So I got involved with HYT and then I ended up joining their board, and that has been nothing but exciting. Every single minute of it, I'm getting to know the students better. I'm getting to see the processes of like why we're doing certain events or shows or workshops throughout the season and like what the decision-making process has been like. And then getting involved in that process too and making sure that like what I know of the students is being represented as someone who's been working with them. So I think that it's offered a lot of great insight into kind of the inner workings of an organization, especially one that provides opportunities for students. And with OCTA, too, that's one of my newer organizations that I've joined, but I'm a delegate for them. And so just getting to work with more of the community theaters in the district or in the area has been super fulfilling in that I wouldn't have gone to some of the shows because I didn't know about them.
Right, because as a delegate, that's your job, is to go see, you're designated a few different groups in the area and you go see their shows, correct?
Yes, I go see their shows, I reach out to them, I make sure that they're informed of things that are going on in the community. And I'm also just kind of a representative to be like, hey, if you have any needs, let me reach out to other delegates and see if, oh, you're missing a costume for this show. Let me see if someone else has one. Cool. Oh, you need a director for this season. Let me see if someone else has a reference. It's kind of like I'm a liaison between organizations, which makes a very broad community feel just a little bit smaller.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but Northwest Ohio is home to arguably one of the largest community theater groups in probably the country. I mean, we have at least 17 organizations right here working to put on shows year round. And that's not even counting some of the independent ones that are just now starting to rise up.
Yeah.
So it's definitely really cool. And I would imagine for you, especially as somebody who is both on stage and off stage, cool to see all of the different productions that people have going on and finding ways to further connect that community.
Most definitely.
So recently, Riley said to you, and I overheard this and I have not been able to get it out of my head. She said that she's been helping you fall in love with Toledo as a city. And I love that. And I just want to know, what have been some of the most convincing factors so far?
Oh, I gotta say the Metro Parks are definitely something that I did not even process was part of Toledo. As someone who lived in Bowling Green, I was like, oh, Toledo's like so far away. It's the big city. I'm small town girl. So, I mean, I lived right next to a cornfield. So
that's your Metro Park, babe.
That's my Metro Park. But like going and seeing some of the exciting things that are happening in Toledo, some things that I didn't even process would be that close to me. I mean, I just did the yoga event and that was so much fun, and not like so many people came out to it. Getting to just walk around the Metro Park was gorgeous and something that I wish I'd been doing for years.
Well, and obviously the yoga event was a collaboration with mm-hmm. the Toledo Mindfulness Institute and the Metro Parks and a bunch of other really incredible community partners. But it is something that, in addition to just being a cool hour and a half long event, got people out to the Metro Parks seeing the Glass City Metro Parks. And we went as well. And afterward, we went to get the garden by Poco Piatti and saw, I mean, pretty much everybody who was at that event also getting food there, which is great for helping our other local businesses thrive and develop. And so you're right. I think some of the stuff that's happening, not just with the Metro Parks, but with the community at large, is always helping other businesses to thrive too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's such a collaborative environment. I mean, the amount of events or programs that I've encountered that have so many organizations involved is just really inspiring. And it gets me excited. I mean, it means more people are there. It means more missions are being represented. So I think overall, that's a really exciting part of Toledo that I'm excited to further explore.
And obviously, as someone who grew up in the region, but you're just really now diving into that big city community of Toledo, what do you think are some ways that people can get involved in our community or kind of burst out of their shell if they're where you were a few years ago?
I mean, I think start small, make a couple of friends, have a growing network, and that's how you find out about things.
Yeah.
I mean, I joined EPIC. I joined a couple of the community theater organizations, and through those associations is how I found out about a lot of the things that was going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think starting small, just delving into your own interests and finding organizations or events that align with those, and then letting people in and letting the opportunity to network take you to the other events and organizations is just how you get more involved. And if you meet the right people, it can definitely be easier with time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great first step for sure.
Yeah. And before we get to our Roman Empire,
everyone's favorite segment,
give us your advice in general for young professionals in the area.
There are so many free resources out there that I don't think people are utilizing. I mean, the Toledo Library is one that I'm even just now starting to really get familiar with, but they have a lot of learning resources, continued learning resources for adults. They have different events that they do. So just going on their website and looking at some of the opportunities that they have available to young professionals, to adults, to children, literally anyone under the rainbow. They have LinkedIn Learning courses for free, which is a big one for me. If you're looking to get into a field that you don't have any experience in, that's one great way to do it. Just like watching a video and jotting down some notes is a good way to familiarize yourself to figure out, is that something I want to pursue further? Is this a job that I can do or want to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think is a really great resource. I also think that something that I came across that I found really helpful is that you can actually get prompt generators for different levels of content creation, like design elements or social media or like press releases. Like you can get prompts for those, and that can help you build your portfolio for individuals who aren't quite at the time or at the level yet that they're getting active prompts going. So I think that those are one way that I've found it's been really useful to build the skills without having necessarily the opportunities to build the skills within my job.
For sure. again, you didn't think we would leave without a Roman Empire.
No way.
Today, I'm really excited, actually, to hear everyone's. Livvy, would you like to kick us off today?
Oh, boy. Okay. So we've talked about the term brain rot on here before.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's favorite. My brain has rotted to a new level with the introduction of Italian brain rot, which has been all over mine and everyone else's For You page on TikTok.
Truth.
There's not a lot to say other than it's just these AI caricatures with very kind of silly names in Italian that just keep coming up.
Such as?
Oh, Ballerina Cappuccina.
Si. Tralalilo tralala. Yes. Tung sahor.
Everyone's favorite.
And what I think I have found the most interesting about Italian brain rot, one, seriously, if you're listening to this and you've not seen any of these, go look it up because you will either laugh a lot or just be even more confused. So either way, it won't hurt you. But genuinely,
there's really
brain
not
rot,
much more to it.
There's
but
not.
It's just...
I have seen a couple of like stories, mm-hmm. AI stories, where it's like, you know, Tung Sahor and Ballerina Cappuccina
yes.
are in a relationship or something, and then something will happen where she gets injured and then the police are chasing him and there's all this stuff. And none of it, let me tell you, none of it makes sense.
Nope, not one bit.
But it's so entertaining.
And it's fun, and it's just a nice relaxing bit, like unwind and just think about nonsense.
I genuinely think over the weekend, Libby and I probably did Italian brain rot for like 2 straight hours.
Yeah.
Just
and even worse, I saw someone say that the very real man, Galileo, sounds
yes.
like Italian brain rot, and I can't hear it.
Yeah,
so.
Galileo, let's start that rumor. Actually, we can't. This is an informational podcast. You guys, Galileo is real. He was not Italian brain rot, although maybe he should be the leader.
Maybe
he would have loved it. Michaela, would you like to share yours?
So I saw on TikTok, honestly, today, so it's a recent Roman Empire, about Webkinz having their classic version reposted on their website.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I just saw this. So I have been like down the rabbit hole of my brain of all of like the nostalgic website games that I used to play as a kid, like Club Penguin, Pop Tropica. So I did download the Pop Tropica app.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't log into my Webkinz. That was the one thing.
Oh no.
I was so upset. I logged in and they were like, your password's too small. Sign in on the website. I was like, no.
It's the way I remember my username
and
password.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first account I ever created was Webkinz.
Same.
And actually, this is my new Roman Empire question. What's everyone's favorite Webkinz game?
Ooh.
And you can't say the curio shop. You have to say something creative.
So
I don't remember what any of them are called, so I'll just take vibes.
I liked using my wishing well,
yeah,
daily wishes.
I made sure
to log in and do that every time. I'm a good old smoothie moves.
I was about to say, mine was absolutely smoothie moves.
Yep.
Because that cow was so sassy. I loved her.
There's like a cash cow one.
I was just going to say the cash
yes.
cow one's my favorite. I liked, especially because you just could keep playing.
Yeah,
literally
forever.
Could keep playing.
And also the one where you were the monkey swinging through the trees.
Oh, I hated
and collecting.
That one.
Oh, I love that one. You
that
had
so
to
bad.
Battle the spiders or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. What was the ants
I was
on
fighting
a picnic
for my life
blanket.
In there. Oh, yeah.
Or like the cannonball one. Do you guys remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
I think
so
bad
genuinely
at that one too.
We should just, I'm looking at our executive producer, Chris, when I say this, we should just have a Webkinz episode where we just talk about Webkinz.
Can I come back?
Yeah, Michaela can come back.
Guest star.
I love that. That's a great Roman Empire.
Yes.
One that I will also be thinking about for the rest of the day and
yeah.
probably week.
I'm logging on.
No, literally. Gotta log on. Mine is a really heavy tone shift from that, which is I just saw the new Michael B. Jordan movie and Ryan Coogler movie, Sinners. Let me tell you what, that was arguably one of the best movies I have ever seen. Not only did it have a stacked production team, shall I shout out that the first director of filmography being a woman with that long of a feature film in theaters, like she's making history. And Ryan Coogler, like we love his movies, awesome work. But it also had a stacked cast.
Mm-hmm.
The cast was nuts. I mean, Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld alone were enough to get me to sit down. But then the rest of the cast, and by the way, Michael B. Jordan plays twins. So there's two of him, which for all of my people out there who love that man, you're lucky. This one's great. But I will say the thing that I liked most about it were, first of all, the tone of the film, how the first probably half of the film is really a great story about like that era of Black people and how they were like fighting for their freedom and they were having to go through so many different struggles to get to a place of success like Michael B. Jordan's character was fighting to get to. But once you get to the middle, it's kind of bridged together with that heavy tone shift in the second half to like a vampire horror movie, which is also really amazing in its own right. It was very funny, a couple of jump scares, but nothing too scary. But I think it both of those sides of the coin are bridged together in the middle with what is probably the greatest scene that I have ever watched of an amalgamation of Black culture, particularly in music. It was showcasing how, you know, music from the past influences music in our present day, which is also foreshadowing music from the future, and how you can hear the influences from all of these artists throughout all of the generations of music. It was just so beautiful. I mean, it's probably like a 4-minute scene and my mouth was on the floor the whole time, just jaw dropped. So great film. And I will also say that I just think a vampire horror movie with Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld was all I really needed to get there, and it did not at all disappoint. So
I love that.
Incredible filmmaking. Shout out to all involved.
I'm grabbing my popcorn immediately.
Literally. Absolutely. And I'll go back to see it. So you just let me know when you want to see it. We'll go back. But Michaela, thank you so much for coming on this episode.
Yes,
we are so happy to talk to you about the job transition, and I know a lot of young professionals are going to really benefit from your advice.
Yeah, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing all that.
Thanks. This was terrifying, but so fun.
We want to thank Michaela Trimpe, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incredible Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.